shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your calls, your comments, the dialogue and discussion. We're bifurcating the broadcast today into two major segments. We're talking about Israel's strike against Iran, a preemptive strike. Then we're going to transfer into a more pleasant, if you will, conversation about Father's Day. And we're going to be looking at and asking you to call in and tell us your one of the ones, if you want to call it that, the favorite father in the Scripture, one that you see that has the ideals and the characteristics that you believe most likely is what God is pleased with. Before we take our callers, though, let me read you something that I find fascinating. Governor DeSantis, governor's advice to the victims of radical mobs. Defend yourself, Governor DeSantis says. Governor Ron DeSantis suspending his presidential campaign. It says here, that was a picture of him in the article. It says, Governor Ron DeSantis has offered some stunning advice to residents of his state. Should California pro-illegal alien riots encompass the streets here in Florida? You don't have to sit there and be a sitting duck. His comments came in an interview where he said, and we also have a policy that if you're driving on one of the streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety. And if you drive off and it hits one of these people, there it's their fault for impinging on your rights. You don't have to sit there and be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have the right to defend yourself in the state of Florida. I had to squeeze that in. And then in South Florida, the headline says, Graveyard Dead. Sheriff warrants no kings, protesters better behave. Brevard County, Florida Sheriff Wayne Ivey warns any left-wing rioters on Thursday that will end up at graveyard dead if they assault NMI law enforcement officers. No kings protests are set to take place across America on Saturday to oppose President Trump, causing worry among law enforcement about potential violence ahead of the protest. Ivey stated that Brevard County will not tolerate any such behavior that hurts any law enforcement officer and causes any destruction in their county. I think that's the position that law enforcement ought to take. You come in and try to kill me. The biblical right of self-defense says, as in, the little book of Esther, chapter 7, 8, and 9, where the king says, when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. Now, that might sound harsh, but that's self-defense. And that's what we find being advocated in the state of Florida. And you don't find that in California. You don't find that in other states. The mindset is, let them kill you, and then we'll mourn your death, but we're not going to do anything to prevent it. I believe we have Davis on the line. Go over the question to comment, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Youngblood. I'm about 9 years short of 100, and I can remember back earlier whenever Einstein and Hadley-Lamarr developed what's necessary to take care of everything that we're working on now in our defense systems. And I don't think you need to bring the United States into it, because we furnished Israel with material to defend themselves. They got stuff that we don't know about. Benjamin Netanyahu is not like the king that showed the enemy everything he had.
King Hezekiah.
Going into bondage.
King Hezekiah, that's right.
And my favorite father is Abraham, the father of faith.
Father of faith, that's good. I like that. Thank you for sharing that information. Thank you so much. God bless you. I believe Santiago's on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood, and you guys. I believe what Israel's doing is destabilize the region. Any Arab nation, they don't want to Iran to have nuclear weapons. Because what happened is, they're going to have control of the entire area. Nobody else wants. Israel doing a favor to all those nations around Israel. That's my comment.
Santiago, you're exactly right. Because if, let's use some hypothetical, if Iran ever gets control of nuclear weapons with a ballistic system, intercontinental ballistic system, missile system that can deliver it, the whole world will be held hostage at the point of the sword from Iranian Islamic jihadist. That's the danger. So you're exactly right. What Israel is doing is protecting the whole wide world. And I believe it's God's hand doing it. I believe it's God's intervention that is doing it. And I'm thankful for that. So thank you so much, Santiago, for your call. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just touch on this. There's two lines coming in when you call. So we have two people holding, or one's talking and another one holding. That line is tied up. So don't give up. Just keep dialing. You'll get back through. We'd love to hear from you as you call. We're hoping to mitigate the problem very soon so that there'll be additional lines that will allow more people to call and be on hold as we're talking. But that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll read a couple of other articles, and then we'll make our transition about Father's Day. Headline, Israel launches preemptive strike on Iranian nuclear sites and all military targets. Warning sirens have been set off to get the public ready for the potential Iranian counterattack of ballistic missiles. By the way, Mike Huckabee is the ambassador to Israel. He was there at the headquarters in Israel. And when the notice went out, I find it fascinating. They've got a system in Israel with 9 million citizens that by the press of a button, all 9 million got notified to take shelter in a hardened space. We'd call it a bomb shelter. And all of the people at the embassy were notified then by Mike Huckabee to go ahead and take shelter and to recognize the danger coming. So that notice went out. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's not being publicized, and I think that it is good, we, U.S. citizen, the United States of America, I think there's a total about 40,000 military soldiers, military personnel in the Middle East now. And I believe that there's a push, even as of wee hours of the night and early morning, where additional resources are being moved into that area so that if anything takes place, America will be at the assistance in defending the nation of Israel. Listen, Israel is called the Great Satan. And Israel's called the little Satan, and America's called the great Satan. And so whatever Iran tries to do in retaliation against Israel, they will try to retaliate against America. Let me just give you a little parenthetical footnote of information that you may not know. Do you know where the greatest concentration of Iranians are in America? I'll pause for you to think. In L.A., California. The largest concentration of Iranians in America. So with this taking place, what do you think is going to happen during the days before us with the potential of riots and burning and a retaliation against law enforcement in America? I think we stand on dangerous grounds, but we stand on good, solid, biblical grounds. Dr. Phelps, I'll let you start us off. When we think about Father's Day, and I'd like to say to all of our listeners, may you have a happy Father's Day. What does Father's Day mean, Dr. Phelps? What is the purpose of it? What does it connote when we talk about Father's Day?
Well, one of the things in my background and my experience is that we honor our fathers because of their character, because they've been a blessing to the family, and because they have a good history or reputation. And I'm so thankful for Father's Day. Excuse me.
One of the things that we find, Dr. Phelps, is when we think about Father's Day, we need to realize that it is a time to reflect on and recognize what God has done in fathers. Go ahead.
My favorite father in the Bible is Joshua. Joshua is an example of a man of faith who chose to be a man of God. And he was chosen to a place of leadership of God's people in the Old Testament. The success of this godly leader is clearly demonstrated by the record of history and the testimony of the New Testament writers. He's mentioned in Acts chapter 7 in the sermon by Stephen. He mentioned Joshua and also in the book of Hebrews, as we read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 30. It's a reference there to him, not his name, but a reference to him. But like Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, who did great wonders and miracles among the people, according to the book of Acts, chapter 6, the man Joshua is prominent in Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan. And so Joshua is a man who set a good example by being a man of character and man of leadership.
Left a legacy. Legacy, and I believe that's what we see. Dr. Davis, what say you? Then we'll take our next caller.
I will say again, in the words that Dr. Phelps just got finished saying, and I'm in pretty much total agreement with that, I thank God for my own dad who told me when I was a boy, you're a boy. You are a boy, and you're going to grow up to be a man. Mm-hmm. And before I got to be a teenager, my dad taught me how to work. Mm-hmm. He taught me that that's what men were supposed to do. Work, take care of their family,
Amen.
Love their wives, love their children, etc., etc. So he provided me with a sense of identity of who I were. He didn't tell me, he didn't let me get things confused, and I could have gotten off on the wrong track if it had not been for him and some other manly figures that were in my family, such as my uncles and so forth and so on, that were there and kept feeding that same information into me. You are a boy. You are a man. You're going to grow up to be a man. So you are supposed to like girls, not other men. So that's why I said, I thank God because that provided me with that particular sense of identity, and I had a foundation on which to stand.
Gave you the compass of morals, ethics, and values.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Exactly what we see in biblical fatherhood.
Amen.
In fact, I just made a little note. Fathers are to love their mother and their children.
Amen.
Dads, fathers are responsible for the spiritual direction in the home. Fathers are the ones that God has chosen to be the head of the home, the head of the church, and the head of government.
Amen.
It is the father's responsibility
Amen.
To take that stand and to leave a legacy that points their sons and their daughters and their family members and others to Jesus Christ. I believe Jeff is on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would just ditto everything you said about fathers, but I wanted to make a quick point as to why we can lay this the bombings and everything that's going on in Iran right now at the feet of the American liberal. And I would support that by saying that back as far as the early 80s, we were told by reports that the country was ready to fall. The people were tired of the Ayatollahs, and they were ready to change the government. And when they actually rose up, and during President Obama's term, President Obama did nothing to support that uprising. And in fact, he sided with the Ayatollahs and supported the Ayatollahs. Then when President Trump came into office, he basically was able take away all their strength through financial repercussions, and we had the Iranians where we wanted them until Joe Biden came into office and immediately gave them hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's when that fire flamed back up. So in all reality, if we had taken advantage of two separate situations whereby we had them where we wanted them, we wouldn't have, Israel would not have to be doing what they're doing today. But I'm thankful they did. It's been a long time coming, and I'm sure they'll be successful in their efforts.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jeff, you're right on target. You're correct, and I'm thankful for your call. And God bless you, and may I say to you and your family, happy Father's Day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and following. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Ladies and gentlemen, as I see it, and as I look at it, now there's good fathers throughout Scripture. There's some that would be biological fathers, then you find some that I call fathers, godly fathers. It is looking at it on the basis, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 14 and following, follow me as I follow Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about that. He was one that you could call a father of faith. But we'll look at this with Moses, and I call it Moses theology. Look at it talking about the people of God. He says, choosing rather to suffer, that's to endure affliction with the people of God. That word affliction means pressure and difficulties and problems. He was choosing to live for the Lord, and it's not easy. It's not simple, but he made that choice and that decision. Then the scripture says, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin. May I say, we live in a society today where too many fathers look at it on the basis of the skiing and the boating and the fishing and the fun rather than leading the family to worship Jesus, be in church, and honor God in and through their lives. I look at Moses as being a father that said, I'd rather have Jesus than all the wealth of the world. I'd rather have Jesus and wealth untold. I'd rather have Jesus and this whole world and all it affords today. Now, that's a song that I've knitted with the statement about the text. But nevertheless, I see Moses as being an ideal father figure in the scripture. He recognized the pleasures of sin, but he recognized that it was brief, very short-lived. And to live for the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal values, not just here and now. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Oh, I mentioned Joshua as my favorite father because of one of the qualities of his life that's talked about in the Old Testament. And that was that Joshua was a man of worship and devotion to God. One of the things I read about back in the book of Exodus was the time when Joshua had accompanied Moses as he drew near to the Lord upon the mount. And during that time, you remember that the people down below were misbehaving, their idolatry and their carnal revelry, talked about in Exodus chapter 32. But after the people had been severely chastened and humbled, Moses took the tabernacle and he pitched it outside the camp. Then as he entered into the tabernacle, the glory pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. God's presence was there. Later, Moses then went back into the camp, and his servant Joshua, a young man, did not leave the tabernacle, did not leave this time of devotion. So that was a practice of his. His strong faith in God, nourished by his regular communion with God, enabled him to give encouragement to others to serve the Lord.
Amen. That's a good thought. What say you, Dr. Davis?
Well, certainly, when it comes down to it, the most favorite father in all the Bible is God.
God the Father.
Because Amen. When we consider him, he loves us with an unconditional love, and his love doesn't fail. He loves us in spite of, and that's not based upon whether we love him back or not. He still loves us anyway. He wants us to love him back, of course, just like any natural father would. With my kids, amen, I want them to love me back.
Amen.
But then again, when we look at God the Father, who he is, as the creator of all things, certainly he stands in a unique position aside from what an earthly father would be. So the earthly father certainly has to pattern himself behind Father God, because he is the one that sets the mold and the example of what a true father should be to his family and to everyone. Amen. And just to comment on what you said about Moses and some of the others, in the church that I was raised up in, the older men, we always called them spiritual fathers.
Spiritual fathers.
They didn't have to be our natural fathers. And guess what? They didn't even have to be the same color. Mm-hmm. I call you and Dr. Youngblood, you and Dr. Phelps today, my spiritual fathers.
Amen.
Same way like I do on Mother's Day. I think about all the great mothers that touched and shaped my life today. And I have Caucasian mothers that I call mother.
Amen.
That I can go to today that will love me just like my natural mother.
Amen.
Many of them were friends with my natural mother. And that's how they loved me and treated me and still do right up until this day. So I still have fathers in the faith, spiritual fathers, that I can look up to no matter what the skin color. As long as we are connected in the family of God and have the love of God in our hearts, certainly that's the way that we ought to be able to accept that.
Absolutely. You touched on that spiritual fathers, and that's what I call the text in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 17, dealing with the Apostle Paul, what he said. I call that spiritual fatherhood, because Paul writes this, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, spiritual sons,
Amen. Amen.
I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." That's spiritual fatherhood.
Amen. Amen.
So we might be speaking to those out there today that you may not have a son or a daughter, but you can still be a spiritual father.
Amen.
And living an example. And I go back, Dr. Phelps, to what you said about Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua made a decision. He says in that text, "But if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
He made a personal decision. He said, "I'm going to serve the Lord." But he also made a parental decision. "But as for me and my house,"
right.
It takes the fathers today that's going to say, "We're going to go to Sunday school. We're going to go to worship service. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to study the Word of God. We're going to make honorable decisions that please God and honor God." I'm here to say, ladies and gentlemen, as fathers, if you're listening today, your family will not get any further in spiritual things than what you lead them into. You fathers, you can lead your family to go fishing and hunting and lead your sons and your daughters to become millionaires, but they are paupers if they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
It takes spiritual fathers that will say as Joshua, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus." What say you, Dr. Phelps?
I say amen to that. One other thing I would like to say about Joshua is that Joshua, to me, means victory. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that he encouraged the people of Israel about what God had already done for them. And this encouraged the people then to conquer the whole land of Canaan. And when he would talk to the people, he would remind them of what God had already done, as in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. He encouraged them all the way. And I would like to say that's what Israel needs today. They need a Joshua to face the enemies that are all around about them and give them victory. When I think of Joshua, I think of victory.
Amen. Amen. Well said. I believe Terry is on the line. Terry, go with the question or comment, please.
Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's times that we don't have our natural father, but someone else stepped in the plate. And I have to give a shout out, even though he died year before last, to Pastor Richard Dix Petrie. He was a father to me. He was Caucasian. But he helped me so much on a journey with Christ.
Amen.
And I just think every man that has stepped up even to raise the children by themselves, that shout out to you especially. And then there has been some women who had to be men, you know, the father vows. But nothing takes the place of a man to raise a child, especially a male child.
Amen.
And also, too, I believe that Joshua is my favorite in
Amen.
The Bible.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got time maybe for one other caller. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, we've got about a minute. Wrap us up with your thoughts about fatherhood, Christian fathers, and what Father's Day ought to connote in the lives of our hearers.
Well, let me give you an acrostic for the true meaning of a father, using the words F-A-T-H-E-R. The F in father stands for faithful, mm-hmm. for good fathers are faithful. Mm-hmm. The A in father stands for action, for good fathers are people of action. The T in father stands for teacher, for good fathers are also teachers. The H in father stands for hope, for good fathers offer hope to their families. The E in father stands for example, for good fathers are a positive example, and the R in father stands for reliable, for good fathers are reliable.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you took time out of your schedule to join in the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Happy Father's Day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Basically, the heart of